Good morning, Rabosai. Today's daf is Pei Zayin Omid Aleph. Let's just quickly review as an introduction the bottom of Pei Vav Omid Beis. And there are certain things that are definite. And there are certain things that are subject to debate. What's definite is that the people arrived in what's called Midbar Sinai, and that's going to happen on Rosh Chodesh Sivan. What's also definite is that Shabbos is going to be the day in which the Torah was given. So there's no debate about those two points. And the Gemara derives this from sources that the day in which the Shabbos, the Torah was given, was on Shabbos. And they came to Midbar Sinai on Rosh Chodesh. The machlokus is going to be between Rabbi Yossi and the Chachamim, and that's what we're going to focus our attention on today. What day of the week was Rosh Chodesh? What day of the week did they arrive in Midbar Sinai? And this is going to have some repercussions. Now, as we said, everybody agrees that they arrived in Midbar Sinai on Rosh Chodesh. And that's derived from the fact that it says Bayom Hazeh Bo Midbar Sinai, and the emphasis is on the word Hazeh, and we find elsewhere with regard to the mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh, it says HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodoshim, and Moshe Rabbeinu commanded the people of Israel on the mitzvah of Rosh Chodesh on Rosh Chodesh itself. Hence the word Hazeh means on this day, which is the day of Rosh Chodesh. And so too, Bayom Hazeh, Bo Midbar Sinai, that was Rosh Chodesh. How do we know, and everybody agrees, that the Torah was given on Shabbos? And that's derived from the fact that in the Aseres HaDibros, the Torah says, Zocher Es Hayom HaShabbos L'Kadsho. And when it says Zocher Es Hayom, it means remember today, which is Shabbos. Today is Shabbos. How do I know that the word Zocher means today? That we derive from Yitzias Mitzrayim. Vayomer Moshe la'om, Zechar es hayom hazeh sheyetzasim mimitzrayim. Remember this day, Zechar this day, this is the day that you left Mitzrayim, that's called Yitzumo shel yom. So to hear, Zechar es yom ha-shabbos l'kadsho means this day, this is the Yitzumo shel yom. But the question now is, when was Rosh Chodesh? What day of the week was Rosh Chodesh? So if we had a whiteboard, we would write the following. According to Rabbi Yossi, Rosh Chodesh was on Sunday. According to the Chachamim, Rosh Chodesh was on Monday. So those are the facts on the ground that we'll have to derive and explain, but that's the whole Shia today, is about this, which day of the week was Rosh Chodesh. According to Rabbi Yossi, Rosh Chodesh was on a Sunday. Now, the people of Israel, as we said before, reached Midbar Sinai on Rosh Chodesh Sivan. They came from a place called Rephidim. It was a long, tiring journey. And on that very day, Rosh Chodesh, which was, according to Rabbi Yossi, on a Sunday, nothing happened, meaning Moshe Rabbeinu did not bring transmit any saying from Hashem, any words of God. Why? That wasn't a good day. And the Gemara calls that Mishum Chulsha Di'urcha, which means they were very weak from the journey. So that Sunday in which they arrived at Midbar Sinai, that was a kind of like an off day. That was a rest day because they were tired from the Torah HaDerech. Exactly who was tired We're not exactly sure. Maybe Moshe, maybe Klal Yisrael, the different interpretations. Now says Rabbi Yossi, what happens on the next day, which is Trei B'Shabbos, which is on a Monday? That's the day in which Moshe goes up early in the morning. Every time that Moshe climbs the mountain, it's early in the morning. And that's when Hashem tells him, Atem Tiyuli Mamleches Kohanim. God says, I have chosen the people of Israel to be my nation of priests. And now we're up to Daf Pei Zayin Amud Aleph. Bitlasa, on Tuesday, Moshe Rabbeinu goes up the mountain a second time, and in this case, he relates to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, relays to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what the people of Israel said in response to Atem Tiyuli Mamleches Kohanim V'Goy Kadosh. Now, all these psukim that we're dealing with are in the 19th chapter of Shmos, in Parshas Yisro. The Aseres HaDibros are in the 20th chapter. And after Hashem says to the people, Atem Tiyuli Mamleches Kohanim, that you'll be living on a higher level than the other nations with more mitzvos, the people responded, and they said, Kol Asher Dibra Hashem Nase. That's in the very next pasuk. And this was on Tuesday. Because what happens is that Moshe Rabbeinu goes up early that morning on Tuesday, and he relays back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu the fact that the people have accepted Nase, that they want to be committed to the mitzvos. Now, after Moshe Rabbeinu on a Tuesday relays back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that the people have accepted the mitzvos, Hashem at that meeting, at that encounter, Omar Lehu Mitzvos Hagbalah, he tells Moshe Rabbeinu to convey to the people that they should stay far away from the mountain. There were boundaries and they couldn't come too close to the mountain. And in that pasuk it says, "V'hinei anochi boi lecha bafa onon," etc. And higbalta es ha'om saviv, hisham lechem milalos alos bahar. Now, what happens is that on Tuesday, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, after he hears that Bnei Yisrael are ready to accept the Torah, they're committed, now he says, Moshe Rabbeinu command the people to stay far away from the boundaries of the mountain. And then Moshe Rabbeinu comes down on that Tuesday. He conveys the word of God and the mitzvah of Hagbalah to stay far away from the mountain to the people of Israel. Barba, on Wednesday, again, Moshe Rabbeinu goes up the mountain very early. And at this point, he gets another mitzvah, not the mitzvah of Hagbalah, but what's called the mitzvah of Prisha, which we discussed yesterday, that the husbands and the wives should be separated, one from the other, as far as intimacy. And he comes down on that Wednesday morning, and Avud Prisha, and the people of Israel receive that command, and they implement it. So now, on a Wednesday, according to Rabbi Yossi, the husbands and the wives separate one from the other. And that's when Hashem says to Moshe, Lech el ha'am v'kidashtem, v'ayu nechon v'yom ha'shlishi. And it turns out that if it was on Wednesday that they started fulfilling the mitzvah prisha, then they had the mitzvah prisha on a Wednesday, on a Thursday, and on a Friday. And as we discussed yesterday, after 3 days had passed since the last intimacy, any pleitas shichva zera that she would have on the fourth day, that would be tahor. So on Shabbos, when the Torah was given, the women were already tahoros, and that's because we had these 3 days of prisha. That's the shita of Rabbi Yossi. Rabbanan Savri, The Rabbanon of the opinion that betray b'shaba ikva yarcha, that Rosh Chodesh Sivan was not on a Sunday, but rather on a Monday. And we'll see later on how the Rabbanon derived that. Okay, on that very Monday, there was nothing happening. That was the rest day. Betray b'shab salom alo lomide mishum chulsha di'urcha, because they were weak from the travel. They arrived on that Rosh Chodesh, on that Monday, in the journey from Rephidim to Midbar Sinai. They were weak, they were tired. And on that Monday, nothing really happened. B'tlasa, on Tuesday, Moshe Rabbeinu climbs up the mountain, V'amalohu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu relays on that Tuesday morning to Moshe, Atem Tiyuli Mamleches Konim V'goy Kadosh, B'arba, on the fourth day of the week, that's on a Wednesday, Moshe Rabbeinu goes up to the mountain to relay to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that the people have accepted, and he receives from HaKadosh Baruch Hu Amalem Mitzvah Hagbola. So it was on a Wednesday, not a Tuesday, according to the Rabbanan, that they received the mitzvah Agbola to stay away from the boundaries of the mountain. And then he goes back up on Thursday, B'chamisha, Avud Prisha. So the mitzvah Prisha to separate men and women took place on a Thursday. So then the mitzvah Prisha really was just Thursday and Friday. It was only a two-day Prisha. And any Poleta Shichva Zera that she would have subsequent to that second day, meaning on the third day after an intimacy, that would be Tahar. And that was the machlokas they had yesterday, whether or not Poletes on the third day is Tahora or not. So basically, according to the Rabbanon, if Monday was Rosh Chodesh, then everything gets pushed off by another day. And that would mean that Shabbos, according to the Rabbanon, is the sixth day of Sivan. Let's just work that out. If the first day of Sivan is on a Monday, the second day of Sivan is on a Tuesday, the third day of Sivan is on a Wednesday, the fourth day of Sivan is on Thursday, the fifth day of Sivan is on Friday, and the sixth day of Sivan is Shabbos. Whereas, according to Rabbi Yossi, the sixth day of Sivan is on a Friday, because Rabbi Yossi says the Rosh Chodesh is on Sunday, and the Torah is given on Shabbos, which is the seventh day of Sivan. That's Rabbi Yossi. Meisve. Now the Gemara quotes a kasha of the Bnei HaYeshiva. It says in the Mitzvah Prisha, V'kidashtem Hayom U'machar. The Torah explicitly says that Prisha was today and tomorrow. That means it was a two-day Prisha, which works out beautifully according to the Rabbanon, because Prisha was given on a Thursday, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, be Poresh Thursday and Friday, and that's it. 2 days. Kasha Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi has 3 days, because according to Rabbi Yossi, the mitzvah of Prisha was given on a Wednesday, so we have Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, 3 days of Prisha. Amalacha, Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi is going to answer. Although HaKadosh Baruch Hu declared 2 days of Prisha, Yom Echad Hosif Moshe Midaito. Moshe Rabbeinu decided on his own to add a third day of Prisha, extending Prisha from 2 days to 3 days. Now we have a major digression. We're going to come back in Mirtzah Hashem to the days between Rosh Chodesh and that Shabbos of Kabbalah HaTorah in just a minute. But first, let's talk about three different initiatives of Moshe Rabbeinu. The Sanya we learned in the Brisa, Shlosha Dvar Masa Moshe Rabbeinu Midaito. There were three things that Moshe Rabbeinu did on his own initiative. Vehiskim HaKadosh Baruch Hu Imo, and Hashem approved. Number one, Hosif Yom Echad Midato. He added a third day of Prisha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave 2 days, or commanded 2 days of Prisha, but Moshe added a third day of Prisha. Number two, Perish Min HaIsha. He himself, Moshe Rabbeinu, separated after Matan Torah from his wife on a permanent basis. This week we're going to read Parshas Baal Loscha. And at the end of Parshas Baloscho, we're going to learn about the Lashon Hara against Moshe Rabbeinu, that he separated from his wife. Anyway, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is fine. V'shibras haluchos, and Moshe on his own initiative broke the first set of luchos. Now the Gemara goes through each one of these three. The Gemara says, Hosif yomechon midaito mai darish, what motivated Moshe Rabbeinu to add an extra day of prisha when the Torah commanded him v'kidashem ayom u'mochar, just 2 days? Moshe Rabbeinu had the following derivation, hayom kimochar, today should be like tomorrow. That's what it means, hayom u'mochar. He interprets it as hayom kimochar, malim mochar, lelo imo. Just like tomorrow, we're going to have a full day, which includes the night, which always initiates the day, and the 12 hours of daylight. The following, that's the 24-hour unit that is a day, is afayom. Even today, which is the first day of Prisha, should be Leilel Imo. It should be a full day made up of two onos. If you remember, we discussed yesterday that the day is made up of onas Laila, which is 12 hours at night, and onas Yom, which is 12 hours during the day. The Laila doi idna nafkale. But it was only on that Wednesday that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the mitzvah Prisha, Wednesday by day. Because again, Moshe Rabbeinu went up the mountain early in the morning. And if that be the case, how can we count Wednesday as one of the 2 days which HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded us? Because Wednesday is a fractured day. And therefore, Shmamina, we should derive from this, that Trei Yomei Levad Mi'a Idna, then in addition to today, which is Wednesday, we have to add 2 full days, namely Thursday and Friday. And Sacha Kol, we have 3 days of Prisha. Again, when I say 3 days, I don't mean 3 times 24 hours. I mean 3 calendar days of Prisha. Rabbi Akiva, if you remember yesterday, required we spoke about 60 hours, and there was another Shita that required 72 hours. When we know that the Hiskim HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how do we know that God gave His approval? Delo Sharia Shechina Ad Safra D'Shabsa, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought down His presence on Har Sinai on Shabbos morning. And according to the calculation of Hashem, if Hashem gave the mitzvah Prisha on Wednesday, and He said Ayom Ulamachar, then He should have given the Torah on Friday. Apparently, HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided, I'm going to give the Torah, I'm going to reveal myself on the mountain on Shabbos, because Moshe Rabbeinu added an extra day of Prisha. Number 2, Uperish Min HaIsha, my Dorish, what led Moshe to the conclusion that he should separate from his wife? Nasa Kal V'chomer V'atzmo. He came up with his own logical analysis. Omar, and he declared, Uma Yisrael Shelo Dibra Shechina Imoy Melesha Achas. HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to the people of Israel, the first 2 of the 10 commandments, and we were all there, if you remember, and it was 1 hour, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed Himself for just 1 hour to the people. The people of Israel reached that great level of prophecy for just 1 hour, all 3 million strong. And yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that I'm going to tell you exactly when we're going to share that encounter of Shechina Imam for 1 hour, and he sets it up beforehand, and he says, Omer Torah declares, Ayunachonim Al Tigshu Ela Isha. Prepare yourself for that revelation, and a husband should not have an intimacy with his wife. Is Ani, says Moshe Rabbeinu, Shekol Shah Vishah Shechina Medaberes Imo. Right, this is one of the 13 principles of our faith that the Rambam codifies in Masechta Sanhedrin. One of them is that Moshe Rabbeinu's nevuah is unlike any other nevuah, any other prophecy. It's inherently different. It's qualitatively different. And that is that Moshe Rabbeinu had to be ready at every single second, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu might initiate a prophecy, nevuah. Is v'eino kovel lizman? He doesn't tell me when exactly I should be prepared. It means like, if God is telling me that I'm constantly ready for the vua, I have to be prepared for the vua. Alachas kam v'kama. How much more so? I have to separate from my wife. I have to be tar in a state of purity without being a balkari, etc., etc., on a constant basis. And we know, and how do we know the Hiskim HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Yodo God was gave His approval. Dechsiv. Lechem or lahem, Shuvu lachem li'aleichem. Hashem commands Moshe to transmit to the people of Israel after Maimed Har Sinai, tell them that they should go back to their tents, which means the tent here is a symbolic representation of the family life, a husband and wife together in the Ohel. Let them resume marital relations. Uksiv basrei, and immediately Hashem says, V'ata, but you, Moshe Rabbeinu, po amod imadi, stand with me, don't return to your Ohel. Isti Amri, we have another possible explanation as to how we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu agreed to Moshe Rabbeinu's decision. Because the Pasuk says, Peh el peh adaber bo, that God speaks to Moshe one mouth to the other, like a person speaks to another. And Amarti lo lifrosh mina isha. Pel Peh means I told him that he should separate himself from his wife. In other words, I agreed to his initiative. And number three, Shiber es haluchos. Moshe Rabbeinu on his own initiative decided to break the luchos, my darish. What was his logic? The people of Israel had sinned at the Chet HaEgel. Omar, Moshe said, let's derive a kal v'chomer. Uma karvon pesach shu echad mitaryag mitzvos. Omra Torah. The Torah says with regard to one of the 613 mitzvos, kol ben nechar lo yochal bo, this pasuk of kol ben nechar lo yochal bo is the source from which we derive the halacha that a mumar la'avodah zarah, someone who worships an idol, is enjoined from eating the korban pesach. The phrase ben nechar means that he has alienated himself from Almighty God. Nisnakru masov, laviv shebashamayim, and Yisrael, here the whole nation of Israel, is HaTorah kula kan, is everything depends on the shtei luchos habris, the aseres hadibros, which is 613 mitzvos, and the Yisrael, B'nai Yisrael, had worshipped the Egel Alachas Kama Kama, how much more so can I derive the conclusion that they're not suited to receive the entire corpus of the Torah, 613 mitzvos? If in one mitzvah, which is Korban Pesach, the Torah enjoins a Ben Nechar, a Mumar L'Avodah Zarah, from eating from the Korban Pesach, he's excluded from the mitzvah, how much more so with regard to the body and the entire corpus, the unit of 613 mitzvahs, for sure, Yisrael are Mumrim, they are guilty of Avodah Zarah, they worship the Egel, certainly they have to be excluded from receiving the Torah. Now, a couple of questions arise here. I'll just mention them in passing. There's a great deal of literature here because this kal v'chomer is a little bit odd. Moshe Rabbeinu could have decided not to give the shtei luchos habris to Klal Yisrael. Who says that he had a heter, he had a permission to destroy the luchos? That doesn't come under this kal v'chomer. And besides which, if the people worshipped the Egel on one occasion, does that give them the status of a Mumar? And thirdly, is it really true that every single last member of Klal Yisrael worshipped the Egel? Is that definitely so? But in any event, how do we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu accepted Moshe Rabbeinu's initiative in breaking the Luchos? We know in the Hiskim HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yod God approved Shenemar. And I'll read the entire pasuk. It says, "Haluchos harishonim asher shibarta." Omer Eish Lakish, what is asher shibarta? You know, you could have learned it that God was sort of ramming it into him. You know, I'm giving you a replacement for the first luchos that you broke. No. Says Eish Lakish, the phrase asher should be reinterpreted. That word asher, al pi derech hadrush, and asher means yishar. Yishar means it's straight. And I give you a yasher koch, yasher kochacha sheshibarta. And I give you my full approval in your decision to destroy the luchos. And that ends our digression. And now we get back on the horse, so to speak, to our sugya of the machlokas between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbanon. Tashma, let's prove one of the two shitos from the mitzvah of prisha. Moshe Rabbeinu tells the people of Israel, "Ve'ayu nechonim liyom ha-shlishi," that already on the third day, meaning there'll be 2 days of Prishon, on the third day they will receive the Torah. Kashal Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi says that the mitzvah Prishon was given on a Wednesday, and therefore it's not 2 days of Prishon in which they'll receive the Torah third day. It's not Wednesday and Thursday, and they'll get the Torah on Friday, but the Torah was given, and Rabbi Yossi doesn't deny this, on Shabbos. So the Gemara answers, Hadam Rinon, but we've already established Yom Echad Hosif Moshe Midaito, that although HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded Moshe to command the people on 2 days of Prisha, Moshe extended it to 3 days of Prisha, because he didn't want to count that Wednesday, if you recall, because that Wednesday was a fragmented day. Toshma, here's a brisa that is explicitly a reflection of Rabbi Yossi. The brisa says that Hayom HaShlishi, Shlishi B'Chodesh, V'Shlishi B'Shabbos. Now again, there's an extra word here in this brisa which we're going to focus on in just a moment, but let's skip that first word, Shlishi, for a moment, and we'll read it like this, Shlishi B'Chodesh, Shlishi B'Shabbos. The brisa says that the third day of the month of Sivan was the third day of the week. That means that Rosh Chodesh was on Sunday, the second day of Sivan was on Monday, and the third day of Sivan was on Tuesday. Kashal Rabbanon. This is against the Rabbanon, because the Rabbanon had Rosh Chodesh on Monday, which would mean that Wednesday, the fourth day of the week, would have been the third day of Sivan. Is Kashal Rabbanon? Amri Lechad. The Rabbanon is going to have to tell you, Hamani, Reb Yossi, that this brisa is either authored by Rabbi Yossi himself, or at least reflects the sheet of Rabbi Yossi, that on a Tuesday, we were up to the third day of the month of Sivan. But now the Gemara goes back to that extra word that I mentioned before. It says in the Braisa, Shlishi, and then it says, Shlishi B'Chodesh, Shlishi B'Shabbos. So what is that extra word, Shlishi? That introductory word seems to be totally superfluous. Shlishi L'mai. Why did the Braisa mention that word Shlishi? The Braisa just wanted to tell you that the third day of Sivan was the third day of the week, a Tuesday. So what's the original first Shlishi? And the Gemara now is going to quote another Braisa to shed a light on this Braisa of the word Shlishi. L'chidesanya. And now the Gemara is going through the Psukim at the beginning of Perek Yudtes that we mentioned earlier in Sefer Shmos, and it says the following: Vayoshev Moshe es divrei ha'am el Hashem. Later on, we'll have a number of interpretations al pi drush about what the word Vayoshev means. But simple pshat is that Moshe brought the word of God. I'm sorry, Moshe brought the word of the people back to Hashem. In other words, Moshe reported or relayed the words of the people back to Hashem, and the people had said, as we mentioned earlier, Kol Asher Divra Hashem Nase, and Uksiv, and then in the very next pasuk it says, Vayageid Moshe es Divrei Ha'am El Hashem. And Moshe transmitted the words of the people to God. So, what are these two psukim? There must have been something that happened in between the first pasuk Vayeshev and the second pasuk Vayaged. Both psukim seem identical, that Moshe relays to HaKadosh Baruch Hu the people and the response of the people of Israel. So the Brice asks, Ma Amar Lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu LeMoshe? What did Hashem say to Moshe? And then, after that message of Moshe, of HaKadosh Baruch to Moshe, Moshe transmit that message to Israel, to Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael responds. Moshe Rabbeinu brings back their message. Ma'amar lehem Moshe li Yisrael. Then again, there must have been a second round in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave some sort of a command, and Moshe Rabbeinu played the role as the messenger to bring the word of God to Moshe, to the people of Israel. And then again, the people of Israel responded, and Umar Omru Yisrael Moshe. And then again, when on the second round, that second transmission was given to the people, Moshe Rabbeinu again comes back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to relay the response of the people to HaKadosh Baruch Hu up on the mountain. Ma Amru Yisrael Moshe, Uma Heshiv Moshe Lifnei Agvura. And what did Moshe respond? So again, there's some piece of the puzzle that's missing. We know that there was a round of back and forth in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu that the people of Israel should be unto me a Maleches Kohen V'Goy Kodesh. We know that the people of Israel responded with Kol Asher Dibra Hashem Nas. So we know that Moshe Rabbeinu went back up to the mountain to relay that to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But there must have been a second transmission in which Moshe Rabbeinu gets the word of God, transmits it to Klal Yisrael, and then brings back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu the response of Klal Yisrael. So the Gemara answers, Zo Mitzvas Hagbola. That on the second round, again, the first round, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe, Mamleches Kohanim V'Goy Kadosh. Moshe comes back on the mountain to relay to HaKadosh Baruch Hu the people's response. And on that second occasion, he receives from HaKadosh Baruch Hu the mitzvah of Hagbola, as we said before, that they can't come too close to the mountain. And at this point, after Moshe Rabbeinu conveys to the people this mitzvah of Hagbola, Moshe Rabbeinu goes back up to the mountain a second time around and relays to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that the people have accepted the mitzvah of Kabbalah. Meaning, the mitzvah of Hagbalah. I said Kabbalah, I meant to say Hagbalah. So that on Tuesday, Moshe Rabbeinu goes up the mountain and he relays to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that the people responded, Kol Asher Dibra Hashem Nasa. And then we have the pasuk that says, Vayoshev Moshe. Okay, that's fine. What's the Vayoshev Moshe? And again, a second round. That's already an allusion to the fact that Hashem told Moshe, Hine Anochi Boi Lech, etc. And it means that you're going to be with me on the mountain, but the rest of the people, al tigshu, they're not allowed to come close to the mountain. Ha'am omdu mirachok v'lo b'har, they had to stay at a distance from the mountain, and they had no right to come too close to the mountain. And once again, the people accepted that mitzvah, and Moshe Rabbeinu goes back to relay that to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And in the Mechilta, on the side, I'll just mention that the reason why, again, Moshe Rabbeinu felt compelled to come back to Hashem and tell Hashem exactly what the people had responded, Hashem doesn't need Moshe Rabbeinu to tell him that, he knows on his own, but this is called, in the Lashon HaMechilta, Limdecha Torah Derech Eretz Mi Moshe. The Torah wants to teach us ethics that we should imitate Moshe. Moshe doesn't say that since I was sent on this shlichus by the Ribbono Shel, he knows all, he's omniscient, and therefore he doesn't need me to come back. No, a shliach always has to come back to the mishaleach, to the one who sent him, and give him the response to that shlichus. Divrei Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda. So everything that we've learned is according to Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Omer. Rabbi says, Batchila, when they came to Har Sinai, to Midbar Sinai, Peresh Onsha. Now, Rebbe is adding another element over here. Because, remember we started with the Pasuk, Vayoshev Moshe es Divrei Ha'am. And he wants to interpret the word Vayoshev, Alpi Drush. And we'll see here two different interpretations of the word Vayoshev. So according to the first interpretation, Rebbe says, what is the implication and the meaning of Vayoshev? Piresh Onsha Shel Torah. That initially, right at the beginning when they get to Midbar Sinai, and they're about to enter into the episode of receiving the Torah, Hashem warns them, don't think it's all, you know, a bowl of cherries. There is Onshim, there are punishments. And how do we see this in the word Vayoshev? תכסיב היושב משה דברים שמשבבין דייתו של אדם. So Rebbe interprets it according to this transmission, that the word Vayoshev comes from the shorish of the word Mishavavin. Mishavavin means when people, you know, feel inhibited. They don't like, you know, being imposed rules that are imposed upon them. You know, who wants to wear this mask? So they start, you know, rebelling. Ulbasof, but afterwards, Peresh Matan Schora. HaKadosh Baruch Hu then tells Moshe to reveal to the people the great reward for the observance of Torah Dechsiv, Vayaged Moshe. And the word Vayaged is Miloshan Dvarim HaMoshchim Libo Shel Odom Ke'agadata. Agada and Vayaged come from the same root, and Divrei Agada are those words of encouragement and consolation that uplift a person, and that's called Moshchim Libo Shel Odom. So again, they initially had to go through hearing all the onshim, and now they needed something to counterbalance that, because that would, you know, put the fear of the Lord in their hearts. And therefore Hashem gave them Dvarim HaMoshchim HaSalevi, told them about Matan Schara Shel Mitzvos, what great reward you will receive if you fulfill the mitzvah. Zika D'Amri, have another way of transmitting the drasha of Rebbe. And it goes the opposite. You can't start with onshim. You know, if you start with punishment, the child is going to rebel. You got to start with lollipops. Bitchila perish matan schara. That the word vayoshev is not dvarim hamishavavin, which is a reference to onshim, to punishments, but rather dvarim shemishivim daito shel odom. Vayoshev means to be meshiv, to bring you back, to bring you close, to console you, to uplift you, to inspire you, lebasof pirish onsha. And now, if Vayoshev means Dvar Moshchim es libo shel adam, which means the Matan Schara shel mitzvos, then which pasuk is going to follow? And that's going to be the onshim, the punishments, the chsiv Vayaged Moshe. And what is Vayaged? Not Miloshon Agadita, as we said, Dvar Moshchim, but rather Miloshon Gidim. Gidim are the sinews inside a person's body, and they're very tough. Dvarim shekoshim li adam kegidim. Okay, this is like a bitter kind of a vegetable. And that's the difficult pill to swallow, which represents the onshim, the punishment. So just to summarize, Rebbe, two Lashonos in Rebbe, what did Moshe Rabbeinu start with? Did he start by hitting them over the head with a sledgehammer about all the onshim, and only then he consoled them and calmed them down by giving them Matan Schara Shel Mitzvos? So first he told them about the Matan Schara Shel Mitzvos, Dvarim HaMoshchim Daito Shel Odom Vayoshev Moshe, and then afterwards they would be ready to hear the punishments if they violate. And then after this whole story, and the people of Israel got all the messages here, they decided that they want to commit themselves to receive the Torah, and Kol Asher Divar Hashem Nase. And with that commitment, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Atem, you are really my Mamleches Kohanim, you lived up to my calling. Moshe Rabbeinu relays back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, on that day of the week, on the third day of the month, which is the third day of the week, that which the people had accepted, and all that reflects the Shita of Rabbi Yossi, that Rosh Chodesh Sivan was on a Sunday, and on Tuesday, Moshe Rabbeinu relayed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the third day of Sivan, the acceptance and the commitment on the part of Klal Yisrael. Toshma, we have a brisa. Shishi b'chodesh is Shishi b'Shabbos. The brisa says that the sixth day of the month of Sivan was on a Friday. Kasha l'Rabbanan. According to Rabbi Yossi, the sixth day of the month of Sivan, the day before Matan Torah, was on a Friday. According to Rabbanon, that Friday was not the sixth day of the month of Sivan, but rather that was the fifth day of the month of Sivan, because Rosh Chodesh, according to the Rabbanon, is on a Monday. Once again, the Gemara answers, Hanami Rabbi Yossi, there's another brisa here that you have that's proven to support Rabbi Yossi, but that's not the Rabbanon. The Rabbanon have a different shita. Now, it's interesting that once again, there's an extra word in the brisa, like we saw before, the word shlishi. And we had a long discussion about what happened on that Shlishi. Here also, there's an extra word. It could have said Shishi b'chodesh, Shishi b'shabbos. What is the first word Shishi? Shishi l'mai. What is the significance of that word Shishi? Rava Omar. And here we turn to Daf Pei Zayin Omid Beis. That Shishi means lechanayosam. This was the sixth day of their encampment in Midbar Sinai. So it means that they came to Midbar Sinai on Rosh Chodesh, and the sixth day of the week, which was Friday, was the sixth day of their encampment. In other words, they encamped on a Sunday, which was Rosh Chodesh, and that reflects the Shita Rabbi Yossi. And on Friday, this was the sixth day of their encampment, since their encampment. That's Rava. Rav Acha bar Yaakov Omar, not only was that the sixth day of their encampment, but it was also Limasa'on. Which means that, as I said on the outset, they came to Midbar Sinai from Rephidim. And now the question is, if we assume, like Rabbi Yossi, that they arrived at Midbar Sinai on Sunday, so then when were they traveling from Rephidim? Could it be that on the same day they traveled from Rephidim on a Sunday and they arrived at Midbar Sinai on that very same day? Or shall we assume that they traveled from Rephidim on the day before they arrived at Midbar Sinai, which would mean that they traveled on Shabbos? Because we're going according to Rabbi Yossi that Rosh Chodesh was on a Sunday. So the Gemara says, Kamiflegi, the machlokas here is between Rava and Rav Acha. Rav Acha says, Limasa'on, which means that they traveled from Rephidim on that very Sunday, and they arrived, maybe miraculously, in Har Sinai, at Midbar Sinai. I keep saying Har Sinai, I apologize, I mean Midbar Sinai, on that same day, on that Sunday, because Rav Acha says it's impossible that they were traveling on Shabbos, as we'll soon see why. Whereas Rava is willing to say, you know what? They were traveling on Shabbos, and although they arrived at Midbar Sinai on Sunday, and therefore Friday was the sixth day since they arrived at Midbar Sinai, but it was not the sixth day since their Masa, since they left Rephidim. That day of Masa was on Shabbos. And the Machlokas is about what's called Mara. Now, I wish I had 10 minutes, but I don't have it, to discuss with you what happened at Mara. But the Torah tells us that at Mara, which was a place where there was a whole issue about the waters and they were thirsty, etc., etc., they received, amongst other mitzvos, a few mitzvos, a handful, they got a sampling of the Torah before Har Sinai at Mara. And what amongst the mitzvos that they received was the mitzvah of Shabbos. So again, before Har Sinai, they already had the mitzvah of Shabbos in Mara was given to them. Tichsiv. It says in the mitzvah of Shabbos, which is in the Aseret HaDibros, it says, I'll read the whole pasuk to you, Shomer es Yom HaShabbos L'Kadsho, Kasher Tzivcha Hashem Elokecha. As you have been commanded previously by the Lord your God. V'yomer Rabbi Yehuda Marav, what is Kasher Tzivcha? What do you mean you've already been commanded? I mean, they're getting the mitzvah of Shabbos in the Aseret HaDibros and Har Sinai, no Bimara. In the encampment at Mara, they were given a sampling of the Torah, and one of the mitzvahs they were given was Shabbos. Now the question is, did they get the entire package of Shabbos, from soup to nuts, from A to Z, or they got part of Shabbos, but not all of Shabbos? Mar Sover, according to Rava, a Shabbos ipakud, before they got to Har Sinai back at Mara, they were commanded on the Melachos of Shabbos, the 39 Melachos, but atchumin loifkud. There was no command in Mara that you're not allowed to go chutz l'tchum. You're not allowed to walk 2,000 amma on Shabbos outside of a city or an urban area. And therefore, it was perfectly permissible for them before Har Sinai to travel on Shabbos from Rephidim and arrive the very next day on Sunday at Midbar Sinai. But Mar Sover of Achu is of the opinion at Chumin Nami Ipakud that at Mora they got the entire kit and caboodle, the whole package, including Chumin. And therefore, if they were commanded on Chumin, it meant that it's impossible to assume that on Shabbos, which is the last day before Rosh Chodesh Sivan, that they would be traveling, and they would be traveling certainly more than the 2,000 Amma, and they would be violating Tchum. And therefore, Rav Ach had to insist that on that Sunday, they arrived, they left Rephidim and arrived at Midbar Sinai on that very day, Sunday, which was Rosh Chodesh Sivan, according to Rav Yossi. Toshma. Here's a braisa that says Nisan shebo yotzu Yisro v'Mitzrayim bi'arbasar shachtu pischeim u'b'chamishasar yotzu u'le'erev laku habachoros. This braisa reveals to us what were the calendar days of number one Shchitas HaPesach and number two Yetzias Mitzrayim. Now, in the Braisa, there's a little bit of a confusion here because it says that they shechted the Korban Pesach on the 14th of Nisan, and they left Mitzrayim on the 15th of Nisan, and Le'erev, as if to say the next night, Loku Abachoros, the firstborn of Egypt, died. So Gemara says, this is just a little bit of a digression, but since we quoted the Braisa, we want to make sure the Braisa has integrity to it. La'erev Salkadaitach? Could it be that after Yetzias Mitzrayim on the 15th, in the following evening, the firstborn of Egypt died? That's impossible. We know that they died before Yetzias Mitzrayim. Ella, but rather we have to say mi ba'erev, not la'erev, but it should say in the Braisa mi ba'erev, meaning from the previous night, laku abachoros. And that means the night before Yetzias Mitzrayim. Yetzias Mitzrayim was on the 15th. That night going into the 15th, which is the night following the 14th of Nisan, that's when the Bechoros died. V'yoso Ayom. Now we get back to the Braisa. We had a little digression there to clarify the Braisa and sharpen it up, polish it up. And now, V'yoso Ayom, the day of Yetzias Mitzrayim, which was the 15th of Nisan, Chamishi B'Shabbos Hoya. The Braisa reveals a secret that it was a Thursday, and that was the day of the week in which they left Mitzrayim. Again, Rabbi Osai, there are long discussions here calculating that if the 15th of Nisan was on a Thursday, then the 10th of Nisan was on Shabbos. And this has to do with what's called Lekichas HaSeh. Remember that they were commanded to take a lamb and designate it for the mitzvah of Korban Pesach, which would happen 4 days later. And the day of the week in which they were commanded by God to take and set aside the lamb was none other than Shabbos. And that was the day when there was a civil war in Mitzrayim, because when the Jews set aside the lamb on that Shabbos, the Bechoros heard from the people of Israel that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to destroy the Bechoros, and then the Bechoros of Mitzrayim, the firstborn of Mitzrayim, rose up against it. Anyway, that was a great miracle on that Shabbos. That's why we have something called Shabbos HaGadol. In any event, getting back to our discussion here, what happens if we calculate the days, if we assume, as the Braisa insists, that the 15th of Nisan was on a Thursday? If the 15th of Nisan is on a Thursday, then Reish Yarcha, then the first day of the month of Iyar, is going to be Shabbos. So it's going to be on Shabbos. Uveresh Yarcha de Sivan Chad b'Shabbos. Then it would mean that Rosh Chodesh Sivan was on the first of Shabbos, and that would support Rabbi Yosef Akashel Rabbanon. Now, in order to understand the Gemara's calculations here, you have to know one thing. And again, if we had the big whiteboard, I would write this on the board. And that is that Nisan, in the way our calendar is set up, is always mole, meaning it always has 30 days. Iyar, on the other hand, the month before Sivan, I'm sorry, the month after Nisan, right, Nisan Iyar, it is the month before Sivan, but what I meant to say is that the month following Nisan, Nisan is Mole, is Chaser, is always going to be 29 days. That's the way our calendar is set up. And therefore, if you actually calculate the days of the month, then you will see that if Rosh Chodesh Nisan, I'm sorry, if the 15th of Nisan is on a Thursday, correct? Then we're going to have to assume that Rosh Chodesh Iyar will have to be, if Nisan is a full 30 days, so you add 14 days and you arrive at Friday, correct? If you make the calculation from a Thursday, 14 days forward, you end up the following, that the 29th of Nisan is on a Friday. No. What am I talking about? I'm sorry. If you calculate 14 days from a Thursday, then you end up on the 29th, 30th. Correct. On the following Thursday, 2 weeks later, will be the 29th day of the month. Do you follow me? 14 plus 15 is 29. So that Thursday is the 29th of Nisan. Do you follow me? And therefore, Friday is the 30th day of Nisan. And we said that Nisan is always a mole, which means that Rosh Chodesh Sivan would be on a Shabbos. I'm sorry, Nisan Iyar. I'm sorry, I skipped a month, right? We're going from Nisan to Iyar. So Rosh Chodesh Iyar will be on a Shabbos, correct? That's 31 days after the beginning of Nisan, and that would be 16 days after the day of Yetzias Mitzrayim, the 15th, right? So 16 days later, because we go 14 plus 15 is 29, that leads us to Thursday. That would mean that Friday is the 30th day, and therefore the first day of Iyar, Rosh Chodesh Iyar, is going to be on a Shabbos. Okay, so Rosh Chodesh Iyar is on a Shabbos. Now, we said that the month of Iyar has 29 days to it, right? It's a chaser. And if that be the case, then if you calculate 29 days later from Shabbos, so it turns out that the last day of the month of Iyar is going to be on a Friday. So the Friday will be the 29th of Iyar. And if Iyar is a chaser, just 1 second, let me just calculate one more time. Then, correct, the 29th, the 29th day of Iyar, 29th day of Iyar, correct, we started Iyar on a Shabbos, and therefore the 29th day of Iyar, it's going to also be on Shabbos, correct? So you calculate, right, 28 days is 4 weeks, so that's 28, and then you add a day, so you get 29, that's going to be the last day of the month of Iyar, and that's going to be on Shabbos. Okay, if you have a calendar, it's easy. I think you, in the English translation, they have a calendar here. I just don't have the time, and I apologize to chart this out on the board. So you'll just have to trust me that the 29th day of Iyar, if Iyar began on a Rosh Chodesh, on a Shabbos. Rosh Chodesh Iyar was on a Shabbos, and the 29th day of Iyar is going to be on Shabbos. Now, the very next day is going to be Rosh Chodesh Sivan. That's going to be on a Sunday. Is Amri Lecha Rabbanah, and the Rabbanah are going to say, Iyar Dahi Shaita Ibure Abre. We have to add another day, and on that year, Iyar was declared to be a Mole. There were 30 days to Iyar, not 29, but 30. And that means that the last day of Iyar would be on a Sunday, which would mean that Rosh Chodesh Sivan was on a Monday. Now, the Gemara doesn't give us a clue as to why they added an extra day to the month of Iyar. And the Chazon Ish has a long discussion about how they were Mekadesh the Chodesh before Matan Torah, what were the rules and regulations, and Ayin Shom. That's his discussion. Toshma, we have another Braisa, actually it's the Sefer, the previous Braisa, Delo Abrua, that we're going to bring a Raya against what we just said, and the Braisa is going to prove to us that Iyar was only a 29-day month, not the way we just answered up for the Rabbanan that it was a 30-day month. Because it says, Nisan Shebo Yotzu Yisrael Mimitzrayim V'arbasar Ashochtu Pischem V'chamisha Sar Yotzu L'erev Laku V'choros L'erev Salkedaitach Ela Ema Miba Erev Laku HaBechoros V'oso Ayom Chamishi V'Shabbos Hoya. Fine. So the 15th of Nisan, as we saw before in the previous Braisa, was on a Thursday. Hishlim Nisan, when does Nisan complete itself? We're assuming Hishlim means it's a mole, it's a full month of 30 days. The Era, and therefore Rosh Chodesh Iyar, turns out to be on Shabbos, because if you go from 15 to 30, you end up on a Friday. And that's going to be the 30th day of the month. So from Thursday the 15th until Friday the 30th is going to be Erev Rosh Chodesh. And therefore the very next day of Rosh Chodesh Iyar is going to be on Shabbos. And Chaser Iyar, but Iyar was a 29-day month. The Era, and therefore Rosh Chodesh Sivan was Lios B'Echad B'Shabbos. Rosh Chodesh Sivan, if you calculate Iyar as a month of 29 days, was on a Sunday. Is Kashel Rabbanon? And the old answer, Hamani, Rabbi Yossi. Again, we're going to say that this Braisa reflects the Shita of Rabbi Yossi. Omar Papa Toshma, I have another Braisa. Vayis'u me elim, vayavo kol adas b'nei Yisrael al midbar Sinai. And the Braisa says, b'chamisha soyom. I'm sorry, this is part of the pasuk. B'chamisha soyom l'chodesh hasheni. So this is the month of Iyar. Nisan is the first month, and Iyar is the second month. Ubiyos hayom Shabbos hoya. That was the day in which the people of Israel complained that they were suffering from famine, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised them that He would bring them the man. Dichsivu boker. On the very next day, Ureisa Meskvod Hashem, and the very next day you will see the glory of God, when I will bring down the man, Uksiv, and the Pasuk says, Uboker, it says, Sheshes Yomim Til Kitu, that you'll be allowed to collect the man for 6 days, starting from tomorrow, until you get to Shabbos. And on Shabbos, you have to abstain from collecting the man. So we see clearly from this Braisa that the 15th of Iyar, right, because it says that B'chodesh Hasheni, which is Iyar, on that very day, which was Shabbos, and that's the 15th, is therefore Reish Yarcha de Sivan Chad B'Shabbos. Then you have to calculate that Rosh Chodesh Sivan comes out on a Shabbos. Is Kashel Rabbanon? If Rosh Chodesh Nisan is Chad B'Shabbos is on a Sunday, Amil Charabbanon Iyar Dahi Shaita Aburei Abura. You're assuming in your calculation that Iyar only had 29 days, but on that year, Ir had 30 days. Amri l'charabonon, Amale Rav Chaviva Mechozno, l'Rav Ashi Toshma, what are we going to do with the following braisa? It's not going to work out according to any shita. It says, Vayihi b'chodesh harishon, b'shana ha'sheinis b'yachod l'chodesh u'kama mishkan. Now we're talking about the second year after Yetzias Mitzrayim. And in the first month, which is Nisan, and it's going to be on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, Hukam HaMishkan. The Mishkan was established, was erected, was completed. Utan, and we have a Braisa, Oso Ayom, on that very day, Rosh Chodesh Nisan, when they set up the Mishkan, Natal, that day was a special day in Jewish history. Why? Because Natal Eser HaTorah, so it received 10 different crowns, 10 different unique dimensions. Number one, it's Rishon L'Maisa Breishis. It was Sunday. And from the very fact that in the second year, Rosh Chodesh Nisan is on a Sunday, that's the day of HaKomas HaVishkan, we're going to be able to prove that a year earlier, Rosh Chodesh was also on a Sunday. That's going to be the Gemara's proof here. And what other Ataros did that day take? Rishon L'Nesiyim, the Karbonos HaNesiyim were brought on that day. They started the 12 days of Karbonos HaNesiyim, which we read at the end of last week's Parsha. Rishon L'Kuhuna, this is the first day in which the Kohanim worked and served in the Karbonos of the Beis Hamikdash. Rishon L'Avoda, it's the beginning of the Seder of Karbonos HaTzivur. Rishon L'Yiridas HaEish, this is the first day in which the fire came down onto the Mizbeach from Shamayim. Rishon L'Achilas Kodshim, these are the first day that Kodshim could be eaten within certain boundaries. Rishon L'Shkon HaShchina, this is the first day in which the Shchina resided in Israel. Rishon Levarach Yisrael, first day of Birchas Kohanim. Rishon LeIsra Bamos. From that day and on, they were not allowed to bring Karbonos in altars, private altars. And Rishon LeChadoshim, it is the first day of the first month of the year. Umi Dereish, and the first of the ten, as we saw, was Midereish Yarcha de Nisan Dehai Shata B'Shabbos. On the second year, since Yetzias Mitzrayim, Rosh Chodesh Nisan was on a Shabbos. It means the Eshtekad, the year before, that the first year of Yetzias Mitzrayim, B'Arba B'Shabbos. It means that Rosh Chodesh Nisan would be on a Wednesday. And this is based on a premise in the Gemara that the difference between one year and the other in terms of day of the week is always a 4-day period. Disanya, as we learned in the Brayis Achim Omrim, Ein Bein Atzeres LaTzeres, from one Shavuos to another Shavuos, or Ein Bein Rosh Hashanah LeRosh Hashanah El Arba Yomim Bilvat. The way the calendar works is always going to be a 4-day difference from one year to the next, or from this year to the previous year, in terms of which day of the week. But Vim Hoys Hashanah Mubares, in a year where we add an extra month, Chamisha Yomim, there'll be a discrepancy of 5 days. So now let's calculate, and with this we'll conclude. Havile Reish Yarcha De'iyar Maile Shabsa. Right? If we calculated that Rosh Chodesh Nisan, the day of HaKomas HaMishkan, was on a Wednesday, then it would have to come out that Rosh Chodesh Iyar would be on a Friday. So Rosh Chodesh Iyar is on Erev Shabbos. For Reish Yarcha DeSivan B'Shabsa, which would by definition mean that if Rosh Chodesh Iyar is on Friday, then Rosh Chodesh Sivan would be on Shabbos. Kasha Bein L'Rab Yossi U'Bein L'Rabbanon. No one's going to square with this, Braisa. L'Rab Yossi Shiva Chaserim Avud, and L'Rabbanon Shmona Chaserim Avud.